the message this morning. Amen. See what we can find on our journey of joy. And we've looked at Mary and Joseph, and now we're going to look at some shepherds, and we're going to look at some wise men this morning. Y'all awake with me? Hope you're more awake than I am. Amen? Come on. Y'all ready? All right? Here we go. Where you at, Rog? Come on, buddy. Push something. Amen. Here we go. Going to look at some shepherds to start out with and the journey that they took. Let's go with it, Rog. Shepherds. Talk about shepherds just a little bit. It's a very lowly job. You couldn't get lower on the food chain and job, as you know, work as than shepherds. I mean, it was a lowly job. I know that we go to department stores and we buy little fluffy little stuffed animals of the sheep, and they look really pretty, but it's a horrible job. Matter of fact, there's a verse over in the Old Testament where Joseph is talking to his brothers, and he said, if you want to live and you want to come to Egypt, you need to tell Pharaoh that you keep cattle, that you keep sheep, that you are an animal tender, and he'll let you live in that land up there because people that do what you do are despised by the Egyptians. They do not want to do your job. Okay? And you'll be able to live. These are the people, the shepherds. Very lowly job, a very long job, all day long. It was, you never got any time off. Amen? Never. Always working with these stupid sheep. Crazy. Very stinky job. They were not white and fluffy. They were dirty, nasty, stinking. I've been to the Holy Land at least a dozen times. I don't think ever one time I've been out there where the shepherds are outside of Bethlehem in those hills, I've ever seen a good-looking little sheep. They look black. They look brown. Most of them probably don't even know that. Are they really white? You know what I mean? I mean, very stinky, very frustrating job. You can't work with a dumber animal than a sheep. Just the way it is. Crazy stuff. Like, you got to be real careful that you don't take them by any rustling water or water that's moving quickly, because they'll just freak out on you. When they run away, they don't just run away a little bit. They go to the edge of cliffs. They climb down to the furthest part, and you got to go get them. I mean, very frustrating. Do not do what you say. A shepherd has a staff, the little hook-looking thing, candy cane-looking thing, but he also has a rod. A rod is a short club, usually an olive root or something like that with a big old end on it. And he just, wham, hits that sheep upside the head. Dumb. Don't do that. I mean, that's what they have to do. They throw that at them. I mean, this is a shepherd's job. Very frustrating. Amen? Isn't it funny that Jesus calls us sheep? Yes or no? Aren't we that way sometimes? When are we going to learn? Come on. Aren't you like that? Amen? A very dangerous job. Sheep are very easy prey for predators. Okay? They see a wolf. Meh. I mean, you know, they can't fight. They can't do anything. I mean, you talk about an easy meal on a stick. Come on. They're prone to wander away into treacherous places like we talked about. They don't just go a little bit away. They wander to the most horrible place possible. And that is treacherous terrain over there. And where shepherds keep their sheep, it's hilly. And you got to go to wherever you can find grass is where you got to go to keep these suckers alive. It's not a good job. Shepherds. And by the way, it's a very lonely job. Just you and the sheep, baby. Man, wouldn't they get old? Say, shepherds. Why are we talking about them today? Well, it's important. Guess who God chose to be the first human visitors to see His incarnate Son, Jesus? Shepherds, 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 shepherds. It'd be like God coming to us right now and going right by our house, going right by the Capitol in Washington, going right by, you know, Tallahassee, going right by all of our government leaders and everybody and us and people that have nice homes. It'd be like Him going right by all of that and landing out here somewhere in Immokalee to migrant workers. That's basically what shepherds were. They were like migrant workers. We don't think very highly of migrant workers, so many of us. But you know what God said? God said, you know who I'm going to choose? You know who I'm going to choose to be the first to see my newborn son? The baby Jesus? I'm going to choose shepherds. God's just not like us, is He? Say, amen? We might not like to hear that, but this is the way God is. We get full of ourselves, He'll go right by our house. Bye! Is that what He says about us when it comes to pride? That's exactly what He says. Okay? If we're proud, He'll reject us. If we're humble, He'll receive us. Okay? So He went to humble shepherds, and they became the first. Shepherds were despised, but God went to them. Shepherds were ill-mannered. God can't have anything to do with people who don't have any manners, can He say? Sure. Absolutely. He went to them. They were uneducated, had zero education. You need to be educated to get close to God, don't you? Not at all. I'm all for education. Believe it or not, I have a college education. But my college education has zero to do with me getting close to God. You know what I'm saying? He chose these people. They were poor. You mean God can use poor people? Are you kidding me? Most people on this planet are poor. We're better off than 99% of the people that live on the whole planet. We are. Of course God uses the poor. They smelled. Okay? Now if you can take a bath, take one. Take five. Amen. Good. Come on. Amen. I'm all for it. But what about people that can't? Does God care about people like that? Will God speak to people like that? Will God go to people like that? What's the answer? Yes. Because He's God and we're not. Boy, if we were God, we'd run things differently, wouldn't we? Say. Shepherds. Their individual names are not recorded anywhere in the New Testament. You do not know who these shepherds are that are abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. We don't know their names. God's not big on that. Did you know that? Yes or no? He just isn't big on that. Now, we're big on that. He's just not big on that. He wanted somebody humble, lowly, somebody He could trust, somebody He could count on. He chose shepherds. God chose the shepherds to be the first on the guest list. Say it with me. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, for all time, who was the first on the guest list to see this newborn King Jesus? Somebody tell me, who were they? Shepherds. Isn't that cool? Maybe that'll give you a different little take on God and who He is. You know what I'm saying? You ever feel like, be honest with me, you ever feel like you don't measure up and God doesn't love you? Can I see your hand? Have you ever felt like that? Am I the only one in the building? Come on, doesn't that help you? What do you mean you don't measure up? What do you mean God doesn't love you? Listen, if the shepherds could have favor with God, you can have favor with God. Okay? Somehow, somewhere in our mind, we've got in our head, we've been taught wrong, that we've got to measure up for God to accept us. And you don't have to do that at all. You can never measure up. Help me if you know some scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of... How about another one? There is none righteous, no, not one. You'll never measure up. Our righteousness, according to Isaiah, is as filthy what? Rags. You see what I'm saying? Then how can I come to God? Let's do a little test. Let's go back to the Bible again. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Measures up? No. Believes in my Son, you'll have everlasting life. And we've got that all screwed up in theology. Somehow we think we've got to measure up. And God gives us a vivid picture of who He chose. And they didn't measure up. Because it's not about measuring up. It's about God loving. Y'all understand that with me this morning? Y'all all right? You awake? Okay? It's about God loving. And us believing. Well, how about this? How about since God loves, do I really need to believe? Yes. If you do not believe, you're condemned already. He sits willing to receive you. The Bible teaches that Jesus is at the right hand, ever living to make intercession for you, to come to Christ. He's ever living for you to come to Him. But if you choose not to, you're condemned already. The Bible teaches that in John chapter 3, we're condemned already. We don't have to do one thing to go to hell. We already got a ticket punched and we're going. But God loves you. Me? Yeah. Well, how can I get forgiven? Believe on His Son. Y'all hear that? Yes or no? That's Christmas. It's all through the story. Shepherds. God chose them. Can you say that with me, this big word? Them! If God chose them, then He'll choose me. Okay? He chose to love me. You might not have been loved. You may have never had love in your life. You may have been hurt your whole life. You may have had some wacky theology taught you that you've got to measure up. It's not true. God loves you. Here's another scripture. Throw it at you. We love Him because He what? First loved us. Isn't it funny? But somehow we think we got to measure up. It's a good thing the shepherds didn't have to measure up. They'd have never made it, would they? But God said, you'll be first. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were what? Sore afraid. They were scared to death. Nothing ever happened like that. I mean, they're out there having to deal with these wolves and some predators, you know, going to attack their sheep. But come on, now stuff coming from the sky? This is crazy. Scared to death. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Say it with me. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shepherds. You, of all people, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a... It's another reason I think God chose these shepherds. I mean, because they understood this stuff. He wasn't going to be in a palace. A lot of us, if somebody would have come to us and told us we're going to find a baby somewhere like this in some old feeding trough, we'd go, well, I can't do that. Mm-mm. Too dirty for me. I'm not going to that nasty part of town. Guess what? God chose shepherds. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough. And they were like, I know what those look like. Amen? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Shepherds. The shepherds were what kind of men? I think in your relationship with Jesus, this is Pastor talking this morning. It's me talking to you, okay? I think the best way to live your Christian life and have a relationship with God is keep it what? Simple. Aren't we crazy at adding all kinds of stuff to our religion? Yes or no? Aren't we? Say. You let man get religion, some of the dumbest things will happen. It is the truth. Some of the dumbest rules down through centuries has been created all in the name of God. We can learn right back from the Christmas story. Keep it simple. You stay humble. You have Him stay God, you not be God. Amen? You be the one believing. You fall at His feet. Keep it simple. What He says in His Word, do. Can you say that with me? What He says in His Word, do. Is there enough to do already in that book without us adding a whole lot to it? Say. Huh. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's how we need to keep it simple. Shepherds, simple. How can despised, ill-mannered, uneducated, poor, smelly shepherds worship? How did they worship? They kept it simple. They did it. They did what God told them to do. And by the way, when they went to Bethlehem, they saw the little baby. The Bible goes on to say that they went back and they told everybody what they had seen. They didn't have a thing to give God, really. So they gave them themselves. And they also opened up their mouth. That is a part of worship. That's a part of worshiping God, when you open up your mouth. And that's what the shepherds did. They went back home after what they had seen, and they shared it with everybody. And that was the beginning of the good news of Jesus. And it was done by shepherds. And you don't think you can do it? Say, yes or no. Y'all all right still? Okay? Well, I can't. Have you ever told yourself this?
I can't share Christ with anybody. I'm not a good talker. I can't tell anybody about the Lord. I can't witness. Have you ever said that? Can I see some hands if you've ever said that in the house this morning? Listen, you can. Do you stink? Are you ill-mannered and going to say words that's going to fly out of your mouth that's going to really bother people? I mean, these guys are probably rough-talking rascals. I just got a feeling. Say, can you read? They couldn't. Stop making excuses. Make God known. It's what God wants. He wants you to live for Him. Humble yourself. Tell people what God's done in your life. For some of you, it'll start by getting a fellowship sticker. Stick it on the back of your car. Put a hat on your head. I guarantee it, somebody's going to walk up to you. You go to that church. They might, you bite, but duck. They go, no, they won't do that to you. It'll be a conversation starter. Amen? Take some of these cards that we give out for special events and give them to somebody. It's cool, man. Make God known. That's what the shepherds did. Let's go now. We're going to switch gears. Let's talk about the wise men. We got a few minutes to do it. Are y'all still all right? Okay, you got to keep telling me that. Okay, because I don't know. Here we go. Wise men. This isn't one of my normal messages where I'm like loud. It's more, I just feel like I'm quieter today. And so it makes me feel a little weird. Here we go. Wise men. Wise men. There was a place for wise men. Sure. Does God deal with wise men, educated men, smart fellows? Absolutely. It's funny, they come on the scene literally about 2 years later. Let's talk about them. Matthew 2. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the what? Remember that. And we're come to worship him. Remember that as well. This is weird. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ or the Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, these chief priests and leaders of religion and law, they said unto him, in Bethlehem. That's a prophecy in Micah. In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And this is the prophecy. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, would you read this with me? Bring me word again that I might what? Come to and worship him. Lying like a dog. Did he want to worship him? No. He wanted dead. Herod the king. Let's talk about the wise men. How do wise men, what did they do in the story of Christ? They valued worship. And I want to talk about it in a minute. How do wise men value worship? And I want to just, you're going to digress a little bit, Rog. Wise men. What did these fellows do? Let's talk a little bit. And I might get ahead of myself. If I do, we'll just make it up in a minute. Who were these wise men? We don't know. Where did they come from? We do know that. They came from the what? Say it with me again. They came from the what? Most likely. And we don't get this from the Bible, but we get this from incredible writings, historical writings of that period by a couple of different historians that really don't say anything necessarily about the Bible, but they talk about different things that were happening in that region. And there was a school of wisdom in Babylon, in Iraq. It's about 700 miles from Jerusalem. These were scientists, wise men. Now, when you see the word magi, many times, I mean, sometimes these guys are magicians and weirdos, okay? And astrologers, which is forbidden of God. But the interesting thing about these wise men, it says specifically they came from the where? The east. And it's a common knowledge. It was historical data and record that in the East there was this, in Babylon, these very wise scientists and learned men who were good men. They weren't the freaky guys. Okay, and I'm just talking about some history stuff. Just give me a break here. Where did that come from? Who do we know who is smart and cunning and knowledgeable and learned that was taken captive when he was young to Babylon? What was his name? Daniel. Could it be that these men, these wise men, listen to me, could it be that these wise men came through some kind of school or learning or education system somehow that the great prophet Daniel had established back in Babylon? I've never really heard that. I like that. Don't know if it's true. I'm just throwing it out. Here's what we do know, though. These wise men came from the East, and also these wise men came to what? Worship. Were there Jews in Babylon? Yes or no? Are you kidding me? The Jews were dispersed. They were taken captive to Babylon. There were tons of Jews in Babylon. And so it makes sense. Those that would study, those especially scientists, people that are smart, that were studied men, if there is a possibility that somehow this could have something to do with God, what was going on, what they saw in the stars, what they saw in the heavens, because they studied the heavens, then they were going to go and check it out. And it wasn't, like I said, like a little weekend trip. This was 700 miles that perhaps they traveled. Wise men. That's a real commitment, isn't it? Say. Okay? How do wise men value worship? Several things we see in the story, and we're going to quit. Let's read the scripture. Here we go. They open their eyes. These guys valued worship. How many times do we look out there and at the stars, or we go to the beach, and we don't think doodly about what we're seeing? We have a great God. You understand that? Open up your eyes. So often I can get depressed, I can get down, because I close my eyes to the good things that I see around me. Y'all listening or not? Open your eyes. If you value God, if you value worship, you can find Him. You can see Him. If you will open up your what? Eyes. That's what the wise men did. Got to give it to them. Okay? Studied, learned men, studying the heavens. They saw something different. It's very interesting, too. I know I'm getting off here. But did you know, with technology today, because of our solar system and the movement of our solar system, you can track our solar. You can take it back 100 years and you can position the stars exactly like they were 100 years ago. On any given day, with computer technology and all that, you can actually take it back 2,000 years. And I heard something interesting recently, very, very intriguing to me. Why do we celebrate Christmas on the 25th? It's not that Jesus was born on the 25th. It's a very good possibility is that it's when the wise men presented gifts on the 25th to the young Christ child. And how do we know that? And I'm not being dogmatic, but I did see this and read this. This is phenomenal stuff. But when you take and look back, December, Jupiter, and a star called Regulus or Regal, the king star, was right above Jerusalem, which Bethlehem's only 5 miles away. It's incredible. These guys watching the heavens saw something. Are y'all hearing me or not? Interesting stuff. And according to this one researcher that I read, and you know, who knows? But with technology and the way they can go back now and see things and, you know, December 25th, 2 or 3 A.D., that's exactly where Jupiter and Regulus would have been. Right above Jerusalem. I don't know. Interesting, though, isn't it? It is to me. They opened their eyes. They started a journey. People thought they were lunatics, probably. I don't know. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Keep looking. So they opened their eyes. They opened their what? Say it with me. Emotions. We need to do that in worshiping Jesus Christ. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So many of us, we don't get excited about worship. That's crazy. We ought to get excited about things of God. They opened their emotions. That's what the wise men did. Let's keep looking, Roger. We got to fly. I'm out of time. They opened their hearts. And when they were come into the house, was Jesus born in a house or a manger? Stable. Okay, so there he is now. He's in a house. That's why we believe it's about 2 years different. But not only that, they saw the what kind of child? The word is toddler. A couple of years later. And by the way, you don't take a big old long trip there. It takes a while. And they fell down and worshiped him. They opened their hearts, the wise men. They opened their treasures. We know this verse really well. They presented unto him gifts. What kind? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Could it have been on the 25th? I don't know. But this scientist guy, their study was interesting. Very interesting. Wise men make God what? Priceless. Is God priceless to you? And Raj, I know we've got to fly. Finish it up for us real quick, buddy. One last thing. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, the wise men departed in their own country. Say those last two words with me. Another way. They departed into their own country another way. What do we mean by that? How did the wise men make God priceless? Instead of selling out Jesus to Herod, they sold themselves out to who? Jesus. Amen? They sold out. Are you sold out for Jesus? If you're a wise man, you will. That's what they did. They sold out. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They sold out to Jesus Christ. They did a what? A 180, baby. They didn't do a 360. See, that's what I call a hokey pokey when you turn yourself around. That's no good. You need to do the 180 where you turn and you follow Jesus Christ and you sell out and you follow Him. And that's what the wise men did. And wise men still do that today. We got to quit. Amen. Let's thank Him for His Word this morning. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord, for Your Word today. Amen.